we've been saying for the last couple of weeks. Following Jesus is a journey. That's language that we use around here a lot at Zion. And on that journey, we've kind of used this image of mile markers. That on this journey that we're on as followers of Jesus, there are mile markers. And the goal is never to compare ourselves to others. How far along are you on your journey? Well, I'm further than you, or I'm not as far as you. The goal with this series is really for us to think about our journey, to hopefully give us some clarity about what that journey looks like. But also along this journey, we want to be people who are not afraid to ask ourselves often, where am I and what's my next step? That's something that should be normal for all of us as followers of Jesus. We should always be evaluating where we're at on our spiritual walk and what is the next step that we ought to take as we are conformed into the image of Christ. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the first mile marker. We just call it the exploring mile marker. And if you remember a couple of weeks ago, we said that curious isn't far. That's what marks somebody who is exploring. They've not yet made the decision to follow Jesus, but they're curious. And a couple of weeks ago, we said that Jesus invites those who are curious to simply come and see, to come and hang out around him, to come and ask questions, to be around other believers, to be in a space like this. And if would describe yourself as an explorer, you're curious about faith, but you're not yet committed to following Jesus, Zion, we want this to be a safe place for you to explore, for you to check things out, to ask questions. But our belief is that if you're curious, it won't be long before you're convinced, which then leads us to the next stage, which is the beginning stage. Once we make the decision to follow Jesus, we plant our flag and we say, yes, we believe in Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection. I'm all in when it comes to following him. That's the beginning stage. And in that stage of our life, that's when we start asking the question is, I need somebody to show me how. Can somebody show me how? And last week we talked about this, that if you're in the beginning stage of following Jesus, you need a couple of things. You need clarity and you need rhythms. You need some clarity. The gospel needs to be made clear to you. And last week, remember, we talked about the chair and how we put our weight in the chair and we trust the chair to hold us up. That's an image of the gospel, that we have to be clear on our conversion, on the fact that we've put our faith in Jesus. And then once we do that, we can begin developing some simple rhythms. We need clarity, not confusion. We need clarity, not complexity. And hopefully we were doing that some last week. Today, it's mile marker number 3. Today, we're going to take a look at this word growing. And to be honest, it's this part of the journey where a lot of followers of Jesus just get stuck. You just get stuck. You don't really know what to do when you get to this point in your faith journey. To put it in travel terms, because that's the metaphor that we're using, and understand that every metaphor breaks down at some point, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But using that travel metaphor, there's a difference between getting on the highway, right? You merge into the fast lane, you get on the highway. There's a difference between getting on the highway and actually making progress. We all know this. You can be on a road and not be going anywhere for a lot of reasons. It may just be because, and some of us maybe have had this experience, you get on the road and you're driving and your mind starts going other places and you start thinking about this and thinking about that, and maybe you've drifted onto the wrong road, or maybe you've just kind of moved from going 70 miles an hour to like 30 miles an hour and you look down like, oh man, everybody's passing me and honking their horn. What's the problem, right? You're not making very much progress because you're just kind of daydreaming. You're not really thinking about the road anymore. Or maybe you've been on a road and the bad weather comes, right? We've all traveled in weather that causes us to not be able to make the progress that we would like to be making. There's too much snow. There's too much rain. There's too much going on around us because of the weather, and we're just not able to get to our destination like we want to. Sometimes it's an accident. Somewhere up the road, somebody has had an accident, and all of a sudden we're stuck in traffic. We're not moving at all, right? Sometimes it's road construction. We love that. Fifth Avenue, anyone? Right? We love it. But we understand, right, that we can all find ourselves on the road behind the wheel and conclude this trip is taking forever. Spiritually, growing is where a lot of people can feel like that. Again, we're not talking about somebody who's exploring. We're not talking about somebody who is just believing. We're talking about someone who's not new to the faith anymore. They know the basics, but they're beginning to feel like their discipleship, their growth is slow, or it's inconsistent, or maybe this phrase will connect with you, or it's just stalled out. I'm just going through the motions. I'm not making progress in my journey. I mean, this is the person who maybe gets to the point in their life where they're trying, but they're tired. They want to grow, but they just feel stuck. So today I want to answer the question, how do you actually grow? How do you actually continue to move forward on your faith journey where everything just feels tired, inconsistent, stalled, stuck, like you're just not moving. You're in traffic, and you don't see any way forward. I don't want to talk in theory. I want to talk about real life. Because here's what I know about your life. Your life, my life, our lives are filled with things that would get in the way of our spiritual progress, that get in the way of us continuing to move forward in our faith journey. Things like jobs, or kids, or stress, maybe even our phones, maybe things like temptation, or disappointments that we've experienced in life. We all have reasons why we get stuck, why we feel stuck. And again, I want you to hear me this morning as we begin. Growing is not about being impressive. It's not about saying, look at me, look at what I'm doing. Look at how far I'm making it on my journey. Growing is about becoming rooted. It's about becoming steady. And it's about being connected. And what I want to do right now is I want to give you the answer to the test. If we were taking a test at the end of the message, and somebody said on your way out the door, in a sentence, what was Pastor Trent's message about? Give me a one sentence statement before you can head out to lunch today. Here's what you would say to them. Here's the answer to the test. Today we're going to find out that growth happens when identity gets rooted and habits get repeated. And then don't forget these last two words, in community. I'll leave that up there just for a minute. Understand that this never ends. That this never ends. So in many ways, this is where the metaphor of this journey and these mile markers begins to break down. Because all of us should always feel as though when it comes to growing, I'm still in that stage. We never move away from growing completely. Next week, we'll talk about maturing. And then the week after that, we'll talk about reproducing. But if you stop growing, you're not maturing. If you're not growing, you'll never reproduce as a follower of Jesus. So this part of our journey, this growing part, which again, growth happens when identity gets rooted, when we have habits that get repeated and we're doing those things in community, this never ends. So again, when we think about this picture, exploring, beginning, growing, maturing, and reproducing, if beginning is learning the basics, then growing, what we're going to talk about today, is where faith starts getting woven into our daily lives. And growing is not just about what you know. Growing is about who you are becoming. With that in mind, I want you to open your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Because in 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul gives us a very, I think, practical picture of this stage, of this mile marker on our disciples' path. 1 Timothy 4, verses 12 through 16. Again, Paul is writing a letter to his spiritual son, a spiritual protege, somebody that he's been pouring his life into. And now Paul has sent this spiritual son, Timothy, to go and be an elder, to be a pastor, to be a leader in the church at Ephesus. And it's not easy. And so if you take the time to read through Paul's letter to Timothy, what you'll find is it's written from a spiritual father writing to a spiritual son, giving him all kinds of wisdom and insight. And packed inside of this long letter are these few verses that I want us to focus on for a few minutes this morning. It's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. We're going to put it up on the screen. And again, if you need a Bible, please grab one. It should be out on the desk in the lobby. We want you to have your own copy of the scriptures. But in the middle of this letter, Paul says these words to Timothy. He says, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come to see you, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you." Verse 15. "Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers." Now, we don't know all of the context of what Timothy was dealing with while he was in Ephesus, but undoubtedly, Paul is writing this letter and using these words for a reason. And he says, look, I want you to know something. Just because you're young, don't let people look down on you. Why would that happen? Well, because people have a tendency to look down on youth. It's perceived as inexperience. And so here is this young man, Timothy, dealing with the pressures of leading. Undoubtedly, he would have been dealing with conflict and false teaching. Paul addresses that in this letter and the expectations people placed on him. And so this letter is written to help him deal with what he's dealing with in Ephesus. And in the letter, as you read through it, Paul never says to Timothy, here's a shortcut. Here's three tips and a poem that you need to keep remembering. And if you'll just do that, you'll be good. He doesn't give him that. What he gives him, a pathway. He gives him some words in this passage that are not flashy, but they are incredibly insightful. Did you see them? We won't go back and read it again, but put those verses back up put that next slide up there. He makes some statements like this. He says, to set an example. He says, to devote yourself. He says, do not neglect. He says, practice, immerse yourself, make progress, keep watch, persist. All of those words are words that have the idea of movement, that have the idea of growth, of making progress. And let me just hopefully release the pressure valve that some of you feel when you think about growing in your relationship with Jesus. Nowhere does Paul speak to being impressive. Nowhere does Paul say you need to be spiritually elite. I want you to know something as your pastor and a friend on the journey with you. Growth is accessible to every believer. Every believer can grow in Christ-likeness. And we see this in the scriptures. We see this in this letter. We see this in these words. But Paul is honest with Timothy. And his honesty, this is now in my words, right? Paul is saying to Timothy, in essence, Timothy, you can grow, but you won't do it on accident. You won't drift into maturity. Timothy, you must practice your way there. We have to practice our way toward maturity before we ever get there. So what I want to do is I want to go back and think about this passage, and I want to give you three essentials that I think we can pull out of this passage that will help us if we feel stuck or if we want to develop a pattern for growing continually in our life. Here's the first thing that we have to think about. Know who you are. Know who you are. This is about identity. Paul begins this passage with the statement, "Let no one despise you for your youth." Again, Timothy's probably feeling somewhat insecure, maybe feeling like he's not qualified, that he doesn't belong, that he's not enough. So Paul, he anchors him. He says, "Don't let anybody look down on you because of your age." And then he goes on and he says, "Set the believers an example." That's identity language. Paul is saying, Timothy, look, you're not defined by what others say about you. You're not defined by your age. You're defined by who God has called you to be. Growing disciples. And again, that should be all of us for the rest of our lives. We're always growing. But growing disciples need to understand their identity in Christ. Because one of the things that causes people to stall on their faith journey is that their identity continues to be built around wrong things, lesser things. Like what, Trent? I'm glad you asked. Like approval. Some of us, our identity is rooted in, it's built around the approval of our family, the approval of our friends, the approval of our coworkers, the approval of anybody who's looking at your life. Closely related to that, some of us, our identity is rooted in our performance, how we perform. Some, it's comparison. Your identity is rooted in how you stack up against somebody else, another family member, your friends, your coworkers. Some are kind of in a different path. Some of you, your identity is rooted in control. Feeling in control of your family, feeling in control when it comes to your finances, feeling in control when it comes to your health, feeling in control when it comes to your occupation. That's what your identity is rooted in. Some of you, you've chosen to root your identity as comfort. As long as you can just feel comfortable in life, you're all set. And our identity gets rooted in, how much comfort do I experience in my life? So Paul says, look, your identity is not rooted in those things. He gives us some ideas, some targets for us to think about identity. He says, your identity actually shows up in some real life categories. He talks about set an example in our speech, in our conduct, in our love, in our faith, and our purity. So Paul says, look, the goal is not just I go to church. The goal is I'm becoming the kind of person who sounds like Jesus, our speech, who lives like Jesus, our conduct, our love, a person who loves like Jesus, who trusts like Jesus, who stays faithful like Jesus. Those are the real life markers that we should think about when it comes to our identity. And it all starts with knowing who we are. Knowing who we are. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 says, "As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him." Rooted and built up, not hyped, not emotions, not frantic, but rooted. Again, if you've ever seen a tree in the middle of a storm, you know that the secret isn't in the branches. It's in the roots. Growing disciples aren't stormproof because life is easy. Growing disciples are steady in the storms because their identity is anchored in Christ. They are rooted in him. So I'll ask the question, what are you rooted in right now? Because whatever you're rooted in, whatever you find your identity in, is shaping who and what you are becoming. There's something else that I want to observe from this text, and that's simply this. Decide what you'll do consistently. If you're going to grow as a disciple, you must predetermine what you are going to do over and over and over again. This season, again, that never ends, the growing season never ends, is connected to the habits that we create. And Paul gave Timothy a few for him to focus on. What does he say in the text? He says, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture. Devote yourself to exhortation. Devote yourself to teaching. And then he says what? He says, practice these things. Immerse yourself in them. Again, that language. Practice, immerse. Let other people see your progress. Persist. Listen, growing disciples are formed into the image of Christ through regular habits, through repetition. We know this. We can take spirituality completely out of the equation when I make this statement. We become what we consistently repeat over time. We become what we consistently repeat over time. That applies to our finances. That applies to our health. That applies to our relationships. That applies to any category we can think of in life. What you do consistently over time has a profound effect on what you become. Now, in the spiritual world, that's simply a way of explaining formation. Spiritual formation. Spiritual formation is about doing simple things over time, again and again and again. Look, we all want spiritual breakthrough. I wish that I could get up here on a Sunday morning and just say, how many of you need a breakthrough when it comes to fill in the blank, what temptation or depression or your relationship with others or your boldness when it comes to sharing the gospel? You want a breakthrough. And we've been in church environments and you've seen church environments where they talk all the time about breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. And I don't want to minimize the moments where God does breakthrough in our lives, but in my experience, breakthroughs are rare. What actually happens in a believer's life is God uses a slow burn, a steady build, slow growth. And again, I am not minimizing those moments where God just shows up and does something big in our heart, and our lives are forever altered, forever changed because of a moment in time. I'm just telling you, those things are rare. They're rare. And for a lot of us, it's the shortcut that we want. as opposed to putting in the work, putting in the effort. I would love a breakthrough when it comes to my physical health. Just give me a pill and I'm healthy. I'd love that. Guess what? Haven't found the pill yet. Takes work, takes effort, takes time, takes consistency. It takes all of the things that far too often I'm unwilling to do to be healthy. The same thing is true when it comes to our faith, when it comes to our walk with Jesus. I just need the breakthrough. Give me the verse. Give me the song. Give me the right church service. Then, man, everything will line up for me. And we go chasing after that. And God says, no. Just be consistent. And what is the language of consistency that Jesus uses? I'm glad you asked. Jesus, this is why these words are so important, and they're so critical when it comes to spiritual formation. Jesus said this in John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. He said, abide in me. Abide in me. He goes on to say, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Jesus doesn't say, chase breakthroughs and you'll bear fruit. He doesn't say, you know, roll up your sleeves and just, you know, gut it out and you'll bear fruit. He says, abide, remain, stay connected. And again, when we think about the branches and the roots, a branch doesn't grit its teeth to produce grapes, I guess a vine. It just stays connected to the root system. So again, if you're stuck spiritually, if you're stuck, I want you to consider a question. And here's the question. Is it possible that you're trying to grow without abiding? Without staying connected to Christ? Like you're trying to live a Jesus life on a disconnected battery? Because abiding is a formation habit. Last year, probably around this time, maybe it was earlier in this year, earlier than this time of year last year, we did a series called The With Factor that ultimately was a series about teaching us what it looks like to walk with Jesus, to abide in him. And the idea of abiding, it doesn't have to be complicated. You know, some of us think that, look, if I'm going to grow as a follower of Jesus, then I'm going to have to spend, you know, an hour a day reading the book of Leviticus in the Hebrew language. Ain't nobody doing that. Well, I shouldn't say nobody. I'm sure somebody is. But not a whole lot of us. And I ain't one of them. Right? But again, that's not the point. The point is just staying consistently connected, showing up every day and saying, Jesus, I need you. I want to be with you today. And I know you're with me. And help me to live that out as I go to work, as I parent my kids, as I interact with my coworkers, as I love and serve my spouse, as I do all the things that I'm going to do anyway. Let me do it with an awareness that I'm with you, that I'm connected to you. And again, we do that over time. There's a third thing that is not stated specifically by Paul here, but it's assumed just by the very nature of this letter. It's critical to your growth. As a matter of fact, without it, you will stall out on your faith journey. If you keep this on the back burner, if you deprioritize it, if you say, someday it'll be important to me, but just not now, if you think, well, that's just, you know, that's just the pastor being the pastor, please hear me. This is important. All right, I'm going to tell you what it is. If you're going to grow, you must, write this down, you must decide who you will grow with. America. Rugged individualism. It's just me and God. That might be part of the DNA of what it means to be an American. As I just buckle up my bootstraps and I go to work, it's just me and Jesus. That ain't Bible. Nowhere in the scriptures do you see any New Testament author advocating for, promoting, teaching that your relationship with Jesus is just about you and Jesus. Your relationship with Jesus is deeply personal, but it's not private. We've said this before, but it bears repeating. You can't obey most of the New Testament outside of community with other believers. Serve one another, forgive one another, bear one another's burdens, encourage one another. Shall I continue? We did a whole, 12-week series on the one another's of the scripture. And we could have done it for a whole year. Maybe we took more time than that. But the point of that whole series was to remind us that you can't be a New Testament Christian outside of community with other believers. So again, if you feel stuck, stalled, inconsistent, you feel like, what am I supposed to do? What do I need to do as I continue to grow, as I seek to grow, as I want to grow as a follower of Jesus? Decide who you're going to grow with and commit to them. Commit to them. Acts 2:42 gives us the picture of the early church. It says, these early believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, that's community, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. They were devoted to, again, not just the teaching, but shared life, to fellowship, to eating together, to being around each other. And again, I get it, you're busy, I'm busy, we're all busy, busy, busy. But your pastor, I love you too much to not tell you that if you're trying to follow Jesus, if you're trying to grow in your relationship with Jesus, but you haven't decided who you're going to grow with, you won't grow. You will get stuck. You will get discouraged. You will feel the effects of that decision. One of the things that I've learned over the years is that isolation is like gasoline on temptation and discouragement. But I'm an introvert. I didn't say you have to have a crowd, but you have to have someone. You have to have a few people that you say, I need you to help me on this path that I'm on. Community isn't just about support. Community is how God does growth. It's how God grows us. And I can't say it enough. We need it. But Trent, you don't understand. All those things sound good, but I've got some tensions when it comes to those things. We all feel tensions. Let me give you, I'll do it quickly. We all face some tensions when it comes to growing. Number one is this, I'm inconsistent. Has anybody ever been or is anyone currently inconsistent when it comes to your rhythms? Anybody? The rest of you are just liars. You start a rhythm. I'm in. I'm all in for Bible reading. I'm all in for time with God and prayer. I'm gonna be in church every Sunday. I'm committed, right? I'm gonna be in my D group. I'm gonna do whatever it is. Then you miss a day. Then you miss a week. Then you miss a month. Then you feel guilty. Then you just start avoiding God altogether. But then what happens? You come back when you begin to feel desperate. Again, that's normal. But it's not healthy. It's a normal pattern. We all do it, but it's not healthy. So again, Paul told Timothy, practice, immerse, persist. You won't do it perfectly, but just stick with it. So whatever the rhythm, whatever the habit, whatever the decision that you make that you feel inconsistent with, let me encourage you, stick with it. Be persistent. there's another tension that maybe you don't wouldn't say it this way, but this is how it shows up in our lives. It's this: my discipleship feels somewhat me-centered. This one is sneaky because it's easy on our faith journey to begin treating Jesus like a life coach. Jesus, help me with my anxiety. Jesus, help me with my marriage. Jesus, help me with my goals. Jesus, help me feel better. Now, before I get bad emails from y'all, Jesus does care about all those things. He cares about what's going on in your life. But growing disciples are learning to shift their mentality from Jesus helps me to Jesus changes me to become. It's a shift from Jesus helps me to Jesus changes me. It's a shift from Jesus improves my life to Jesus actually, he actually becomes my life. And there's a difference. So we feel that tension. Sometimes our discipleship can become me-centered. But that shift from Jesus helps me in my life to Jesus becomes my life, man, that's growth. There's another tension, and we won't spend a lot of time on this one because it might get me in trouble. I'm distracted. I'm distracted. We're all formed. We're all being formed by something right now. And if you don't choose what forms you, something else will. Paul wrote, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." Being conformed happens by accident. We don't set out to be conformed by the world. It just happens. Being transformed happens on purpose. We choose transformation. And growing disciples learn to notice what's shaping their mind and their heart, and what they're either being conformed to or what they're being transformed into. Being conformed often happens by accident. Our kids' schedules can begin to conform us. But Trent, he can't miss. But Trent, she can't miss. I'm just saying, be careful. Your kids' schedules can conform you into something accidentally that you never intentionally set out for your kids' schedules to do to you and to your life. Just be mindful. Be aware. Our kids' schedules will conform us into something that we'll look back one day and go, I wish we had been more mindful about that. I wish we had thought more deeply about what this was doing to us and to our family. See what I mean about getting in trouble? That was it. I'll keep going. We can be conformed by our phones. We can be conformed by the news that we take in. We can be conformed by our political tribes. We can be conformed by our jobs. Be careful. So, what do you do if you're at this mile marker? You need another step. You need some next steps. And I'm going to give you the framework like I did last week. I'm cheating. I'm going to go back and say what I just said, but I'm going to hopefully say it succinctly in a clear way that is very practical for you. I'm going to give you a framework that will help you to never stop growing. A framework that will keep you on the pathway of growing even as you begin to think about those next two mile markers that we're going to look at the next couple of weeks. Here they are, and they're alliterated because I'm a pastor and you got to do these things. It's in the rules, all right? It's three words. Ready? Root, Repeat, relate. Root, repeat, relate. This is it. If you want to continue to grow as a follower of Jesus, root, that has to do with your identity. Repeat, that has to do with your habits. Relate, that has to do with who you're in community with. Root, anchor your identity in Christ. Again, we've already said it. Culture tries to tell you who you are. Culture says you are what you achieve. You are what you have. You are what people think. You are your worst mistake. You are your anxiety. You are your desires. You are your productivity. And if you buy those messages, your life will feel like you're on a treadmill, because you'll always be proving. You'll always be performing. You'll always be chasing. You'll always be comparing. You'll always be panicking. But the gospel, and this is what we have to understand, the gospel says that your identity is not something you build. It's something that you receive. When you trust Jesus, you're not just forgiven. The scriptures say that you're adopted. The scriptures say that you are loved. The scriptures say that you're chosen. The scriptures say that you belong. And why does this matter? It matters because when you're adopted, you stop living like an orphan. It matters because when you know that you're loved, you stop trying to earn love. It matters because when you know that you're chosen, you stop needing everyone's approval. It matters because when you know that you belong, you stop chasing for identity in the wrong places. Understanding your identity is how you push against the pull of culture. The second thing is repeat. Again, this is the habits. I just want to encourage you to choose one habit and practice it. Don't choose five, choose one. And again, here's a short one that I would encourage you to start with. The Bible and prayer. I guess that's two. But I kind of see those things together. Read a short passage every day and simply ask, what does this show me about Jesus? Pray a simple prayer. Jesus, today, help me to abide in you. And just do it day in and day out. It's not glamorous, but it's growth. But I don't have time. Attach it to what you're already doing. Anybody drive to work? Okay. Anybody take a shower? Anybody sip on coffee in the morning? Anybody sit in a chair at night before you go to bed? I mean, again, figure out your rhythm, what works best for you. Something that you do every day already, and attach scripture and prayer to it. I'm already doing X. I'm just going to attach some time with God onto what I'm already doing. Does that make sense? That becomes now doable, or it should be. And then the third thing, and again, for review, relate. Take one belonging step. If you're trying to grow without community, you're carrying a weight that you aren't created to carry alone. So take a step. Join a D group. Again, my prayer for everyone who calls Zion home is that you're connected to a discipleship group. The goal is not 100% attendance at the discipleship group, right? It should be more than 20%, but that's another story. But the idea is I'm committed to a group of people who I'm growing with, who can challenge me, who can help me, who can strengthen me when I feel weak, and who I can do the same for on their journey. Serve on a team. Again, that's community. That's connection. Again, belonging doesn't happen by accident. But Trent, I've been hurt by people. I'm sorry. Genuinely, I'm sorry. But you can't heal in isolation. You can't heal in isolation. You heal in healthy relationships. So don't give up on community because you had bad community. Take the step toward a better one. Before we close, I'm going to have the worship team come up here. I'm going to put the map back up here so we can see it. I think there's one more, there's a slide maybe at the end of what I sent to you. There you go. And we're going to do what we said we're going to do. We're going to let you just look at it and think about where you're at and what you need next, right? Exploring, maybe you're still there. Let's talk. Let's have coffee. Let's let you ask all of the questions you've ever had about faith in Jesus and following him. And we will be as patient and as loving and as gentle and compassionate as we can be to answer those questions. Beginning, I believe, show me how. Some of you are ready to believe, or you've just believed, and you're ready to have somebody show you how. We need to know that you want to know how to walk with Jesus. Some of you growing, I'm building habits and belonging. That's where all of us should be forever. We're all growing, right? And then the next couple weeks, we'll talk more about maturing and reproducing. Again, Zion, let's challenge ourselves. If growing is about identity, habits, and belonging, then we have to be the kind of church that makes this possible, that makes this doable. Not just showing up on Sunday mornings, but a place that normalizes the practices of spiritual formation, that normalizes and prioritizes community, that's also okay with imperfection, but just cares about people making progress. We've got to be a church that doesn't shame people as they struggle on their journey. We celebrate progress. Again, Paul said to Timothy, so that all may see your progress. My prayer is that all of us would be able to see in each other progress in our faith journey. So as we close, ask God, what's my next step? What's my next step? For some, it's a simple habit. For some, it's joining a group. For some, it's confessing something that you've been hiding. For some, it's limiting what's been forming you. For some, it's rebuilding the roots about your identity, reminding yourself of who you are. Because today, remember, the answer to the test, growth happens when identity gets rooted and habits get repeated in community. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for my church family. I love them. I'm grateful for each and every one of them. Respect everyone and where they're at on their journey. And God, I do pray that all of us would just take a few minutes to examine our own hearts, to think about our journey, where we're at, and what you might be asking us to do next. And may we be a church that's always patient with people on their journey, but is always willing to encourage and challenge one another to continue walking out their faith. Well, thank you for that. We're going to sing now, and then we're going to go to a time of communion. And if you're new at Zion, we regularly remember Christ's death because Jesus told us to regularly remember his death because he knows how forgetful we are. And so our time of communion is an invitation to those who are following Jesus. If you're here and you're a Christian, we invite you and welcome you around this table because it's your table. It's our table. It's the Lord's table, right? And we invite you to come, and we're going to sing and take the elements, and we'll partake of them together after our first song. But this is also a time for us to, again, take a little bit of personal inventory. So as we come and take the elements, make it a personal prayer, just a spirit of prayer as we continue to think about where we're at on our faith journey and where we need to go next. So let's stand, and let's sing, and let's come and get the elements. And then I'll lead us after this song.